All right. And I have the pleasure to introduce the first opening speaker. We are fellow sponsees, Raul.
I'm Raul, and I'm an alcoholic. Man, I was talking to my sponsor before I came over here, trying to ask him, you know, give me some tips on what to say and whatnot, man. I told him I wrote some stuff down, but I ended up just writing like a prayer. Something that I just got, like, from Drop the Rock recently. But I'm just gonna just do it off the cuff, I guess, you know. It's not my experience, you know, with drugs and alcohol. I mean, it all started with alcohol, you know, young age and stuff. But I really didn't really take off until, like, I was 18, where I really started drinking about every day. And it wasn't a big deal. You know, it was just it's what you did. There's nothing really going on in this town, you know. For the youth, you know, we really don't have anything. You know, what I was thinking earlier is that in this town, really, man, if you don't have any positive male role models, you can get dragged into the crap, you know, real quick, because there's nothing else to do here. And I had everything growing up, man. I used to blame my mom for everything, and I still kind of, you know, still go back and point the finger, but since I've done, you know, my fourth step and stuff like that, fourth and fifth, you know, all that stuff is, I'm kind of taking all that stuff back little by little, you know. Like I said, man, growing up, I grew up without a dad, and I used to kind of blame all this little stuff on my mom and whatnot, but, you know, I was young, man, I didn't know anything about relationships or really how hard they are and all the work they entail. But, like I said, with drinking came to using and, you know, other substances, and that stuff, you know, the other stuff took me for a nice roller coaster ride. But I always fell back on drinking, and, you know, that's how I got off. Well, one, just doing the other. I thought I could just leave it, you know. I remember I had people telling me all the time that I had an issue, and I didn't think it was an issue because everybody else that I hung out with would do the same thing. But, you know, then I started hanging out with different people, and, you know, they could go to the bar and have a couple of drinks and call it a night. And I'd go to the bar, and if the liquor store was still open, I'd still go over there and, you know, grab a 30 pack in a bottle. But I struggled with it for a long time, man. Like I said, since I was 18, just kind of on and off. And then it got to the point where I just needed it. It wasn't fun anymore. There was no more party. It was just me getting off of work, going to the, you know, shortstop, stopping by my friend's house, getting a sack and going home and starting one and then with the other, you know. If I wanted to get some sleep, I'd drink. If I wanted to get up quick, I'd do something else. And it was just miserable, man. I had burned every bridge there was to burn. I remember I shared a couple meetings, men's meeting, that I think one year I had like 9 W-2s. I just couldn't hold a job. I always kind of, you know, was taught to be prideful, you know, to have pride in your work, to be a hard worker and stuff. And I always thought I did, but little by little, all that stuff started going away. I no longer cared about anything, man. After a while, it's just, like I said, that's all I really wanted to do. When I had, like this time of year, tax returns and stuff like that, first thing I would do was just get a bunch of liquor instead of kind of planning things out, you know, and doing the right thing. But it just got worse. It's just like everybody else. You know, you guys have heard the same. It's just, my story is no different than everybody else's, man. Progressively, I got worse. DUI, fired from every kind of job that I could get. My family no longer wanted me around. I was stealing from my sister, from my mom, from my stepdad. And I'm breaking into, you know, I was even breaking into the house when they had already kicked me out. And, you know, I always try to clean up and sober up for the wrong reasons, you know. I get that. It wasn't the wrong reasons, but it wasn't the reason that I needed to actually stay sober. Getting the girl back, getting the job back, it never lasted 30 days maybe. And then I was right back out. About almost 3 years ago, you know, I thought the worst thing that could happen to me happened. With an ex-girlfriend of mine, and that really took me for, you know, that messed me up bad, just everything, and I couldn't do it anymore. I remember my last run, my grandpa had just passed away, and my mom went to go knock my door down. This room I was renting. And, you know, she told me, she's like, I just lost my dad and I'm not about to lose you. You need to get up, get out of here, sober up. She took me in her house once more and detoxed by myself. And a coworker of mine that relapsed with me same time reached out to me a few days later, introduced me to some people from AA here in town. And that's how my journey started. Guys came by to the house, 12-stepped me. Guys that I would have never even thought that I would be like, you know, I would even mix with, you know, Jeremiah and Peter, you know. And they just showed up, and I didn't know, I was still shaking, sweating, man. I didn't know what they were talking about, but Peter said, when he was leaving, he's like, tomorrow I'm going to go to a meeting. It's Sunday, 3:00. Presbyterian church. He's like, if you're okay, I can come pick you up and, you know, do that and go to another one after, depending on how you feel. And I said, yeah, man, I need to do something. So that's how it happened. Presbyterian church was, man, it was just full of love. As soon as I walked into that meeting, I was still kicking, I was still nervous, I was scared of everything, still paranoid, and everybody showed me love, man. Didn't get a sponsor right away, but I met my sponsor that night and a bunch of his sponsees, and they showed me a lot of love. I think it was like a week later, a week or two. I kept in close contact. One of the guys from that meeting, he's in the same trade I am, and we kicked it off real good. We talked every day, messaged each other every day. And that's what kept me coming back, you know, just the camaraderie, man, and just the close contact with the males in the program and the females also, you know, a lot of females helped me out too. That's basically like where my strength started coming from. You know, I always believed that there was something out there, you know, before. But I didn't really believe how I believe now. But yeah, my strength started coming from like the people in the, you know, you guys, man. People in the meetings calling me up, texting me, they're my sponsor before. When he wouldn't hear from me for my like 2-3 days, he was calling me, texting me. I haven't heard from you, just seeing how everything's going and whatnot. And just knowing that I wasn't alone, you know, all the little things that I was going through. I remember there was a couple times when I was depression recovery that I was calling my sponsor about midnight or whatever it was, and you know, a few times I went to the liquor store, you know, a few times I contemplated it. It's just easier, man, you know, it's easier to go back and do the old stuff that you were doing. But then again, at the same time, I was dying when I was out there. You know, I had been to the ICU a bunch of times, like I said, and just I knew deep down inside I just didn't want to go back no more. Man, I had hurt so many people, especially my immediate family. One of my biggest resentments towards myself is just the way that I dragged everybody with me, you know, through this disease, and that's including my 20-year-old kid. But yeah, man, my strength came from all you guys, all the love that you guys showed me. And eventually I started kind of, you know, I started working the program with my old sponsor. And then just started building a relationship with the higher power. And things got better. I think I shared with another member earlier, just recently, that I think when I hit my 6 months, I was like on the fence and I just didn't know if I wanted it anymore. Things were just kind of like, nothing was getting better. Everything was just, you know, my head was still running. But then I looked back and I remember there was a situation where, I mean, I was going insane. I was going insane. I remember I was talking to my ex one time on the phone before I came in here. And I had done so much crap. You know, I was already like a week maybe clean. And I was talking to her and I told her, and I remember, I mean, I still remember like it was yesterday. I told her, can you hear what I'm thinking? And she goes, what? And I was like, yeah, can you hear what I'm thinking right now? And she's like, dude, you got to put it down. Like, I mean, you know, to have that kind of mentality, man, and insanity, and I mean, I'm not no better than anybody. I'm not, but just my mental, the way it was before and the way it is now, I'm so grateful, man, that I was able to kind of, that I was able to find these rooms and you guys when I did. Like I said, I burned every house on the block, man, every bridge that I had. The next step was either just complete insanity, man, insane asylum, or death. And then, was it a couple months ago, you know, I met Al, which is my new sponsor. Things weren't really working out with my old sponsor. I was still on the fence, man. I didn't think things were going to get better. And I started actually working the program, man, and just kind of working out of the book. And I was still saying to myself, I'm never going to get this. I'm never going to understand this. Like, I got so much crap in my head still. And I still don't think I understand or get anything, but he says for some reason that I don't know, that I've changed. but I don't know, man. I get my hope from the book, from the one-on-ones that I have from my sponsor, from him sharing all his experiences that are can relate almost 100% to what I'm going through. That's been like life changing for me. To have some kind of the same upbringing, same kind of situations and scenarios, and he just shares with me his experience and how things for him progressively got better. Because I started to think for a little bit that there wasn't any light at the end of the tunnel, you know. And today I do have a desire to keep doing what I'm doing, to keep working the program. I actually read at home sometimes, which I've never done, you know. I've never sat down and read anything. I mean, daily reprieve in the morning with the daily reflections, prayer. And then I got a bunch of guys that I text and text me in the morning. You know, I don't don't know how much time I got. I don't have everything, and I don't have all the answers, and I wish I knew a little bit more. And I wish I had this a little bit more. But I know working the steps, working a program, working with my sponsor, a day at a time, things have gotten a lot better. And I'm truly grateful to be here tonight, man. Thank you guys for letting me share.
Thank you, Raul. Let's give him one more.